Gracious Lord, this morning, another day,
another time,
entering, Lord, into this new year that we have, that we're going to face, Father, another challenge ahead of us. And I believe, Father, you have an appointed time for every one of us, Lord. You have appointed time for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even as we tarry, Father, we seek thy faith. We seek thee, Lord Jesus, to understand where we are going, what direction we are heading, Father, in your prophetic time. Watching, Lord, and praying, and in supplication, Lord, yield ourselves to you. As we see the day fast approaching, Lord, and surely one of these days you will just open up the whole of heaven, drawing back the curtain of time and revealing the only begotten Son in great glory as he comes to take the bride and to set up his kingdom. Father, whatever is ahead of us that you plan, we know, Lord, you are bringing your people, the bride, to a place of perfection, a place of unity. Oh Lord, that our faith, O Father, among your people around the world will be in unity and in one accord. And we know, Father, Lord, you're bringing that to pass according to thy word. And we understand, Father, you are still in control of all things in heaven and in earth. And let our hearts not be troubled. And as we look to that glorious day that is coming, and we know, Father, those brothers and sisters that are going through trials and temptations and tribulations of sort and persecution or whatever, Father, afflictions and such things like, we ask, Lord, that you give them the grace, the mercy, O Lord, and just continue to stretch forth thy hand and touch them, Lord, and see them through. We know, Father, without your grace and mercy, we will face thy wrath. But it is thy grace and the mercy that brought forth, Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, Father, upon that throne, throne of glory, upon that mercy seat. And as long as the blood is there, we have that grace, we have the mercy. And we ask of your grace then, Father, this morning, to be with us and strengthen us. And we ask that you bless those who are not here this morning too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. We thank the Lord for this book. And I've done a record about Paul, and meaning that he has set a good example for us, not only for those in the early church, just that he came in contact with, not only for those saints alone, but for us all. For the man who went about preaching the gospel, traveling through different areas and where he has to face, you know, robbers and highway robbers, and be up on the high sea where there's storms, and very often they do have, it was cast and get stranded, or maybe thrown overboard, or be beaten up, put in jail. And yet, with all that going on in his life, he counted all joy to serve the Lord. He counted all joy to even fall into diverse temptations, whatever trial, whatever affliction. You know, hear the word here, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you cannot have rejoice if you don't have first joy in the first place. The word rejoice actually is a rejoin. Again, joy. And we know that we born into this world in sin, we came to this world in sin, And people think that everyone they are happy, I mean they really have the joy, you know. But we know that real joy is in the Lord Jesus. Comes a certain festive season, and people would have all the entertainment and all the joy of celebration. And Chinese New Year is around the corner. And you know all that song, Guo Xin Nian, and all that, Gong Xi Fa Chai, and all that thing that people are always singing about, being happy. But I think what we have is just the physical side, the emotional side of life. To have this celebration, this joy, to push aside all the sorrows and all the hardship or stress that people are going through. But for me, and I believe it is also for you, the real joy is in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And once you have the joy of the Lord, you know what that is. That's the peace that comes with it. That is the assurance of eternal life. And should any time along this journey or this pilgrimage on the way home, should any time that we come into devil's temptation and maybe we get afflicted with different things in life and we find out, oh my, that's so much pain. But yet, 4 years and rejoice. Think about the joy that you have and go back to it. And I believe many times when we do go through a trial, we were down and out, but we think about the Lord Jesus. And we just feel in the presence of the Lord, and He came and He brought that peace. And oh, you find that you know, you just enter into the Spirit sublime, you know, that moving of the Spirit, and you felt the presence of the Lord, and you rejoice. And Paul is encouraging this Philippian Christian who were caring so much for his affair. He says, just rejoice. So finally, my brother, rejoice, even though you know whatever you've done for me, whatever, when I'm in prison, count it all joy. And I thank you for your care for me. Paul already sent back this letter together with Epaphroditus, who was a servant of God sent by the saints of the church in Philippi, to assist Paul or to be a minister to Paul's need. And Epaphroditus was down and out sick for quite some time because of his love for Paul and the love of the Lord in to serve. And those in Philippi heard that Epaphroditus was sick and they were very sorrowful for that young man. Now the church in Philippi was a very new church. It was, I believe, founded by Paul on his second journey. And so, there was this love for Paul and Paul's love for them and how much they loved Paul, that they cared for Paul, that they sent this young man. And so this young man was down and out sick for quite some time. You know, and they heard about it. Paul could have sent news through any stranger or somebody who is passing by going to the city of Philippi to bring this news to the people there or the church. Because, you know, in those times it's easy to find a family. You can go to, you know, a small city, it's easy to find a family. Just give them the name and so on. Perhaps to mention the name of Lydia, where actually the church started. And so on. So, you know, the church in Philippi was kind of upset and sorrow and distressed because of Epaphroditus as well. And so Paul said, no, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you and to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is saved. Now, Paul is saying now, I know all these things. It is not tiresome, not a burden to me, not a pain to me. You know, just to repeat these things to you. But for you, it is to safeguard your faith. Now sometimes, you know, but even Peter said, you bring things to memory. We think we take for granted, oh, I know that already. Yes, sometimes we know that already, but Paul had a purpose to always bring it up to our memory, our remembrance. You know. So that each time that we hear all that again, we always go back to the joy of the Lord. We always recall the things that we are being taught, the things that we should hold on to. So now he said, even though Paul was in prison, he was not, you know, it's not grievous for me even I'm in prison, you know, even I'm down here in solace, in confinement. It's not a nice place, it's not a hotel, it's a pagan prison, it's filthy, you know, and just to sit down and write something and, you know, try to get myself rejoiced up, you know, get my spirit up. It's not grievous, it's not tiresome. I'm happy. So to say, I'm really happy, full of joy. So don't feel bad for me, you know. And now I'm going to tell you something, and I might repeat the things to you over and over many times, but it is for your safety. He said, now beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concession. Now, you read a few times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, the word dogs. Dogs is considered an animal that's it's a degradatory name when it refers to a person, because a dog is not considered a good animal. You know, a clean animal. That's why the Muslim, they do not keep dogs in the house, because it was so often mentioned in the Bible in that term. You know, not that a dog was very unclean in any sense of the word, like a pig. You know, even a pig considered to be quite clean too. You know, they are quite clean animals. So yeah, they like to play in the mud. You know, and because why, their skin itch, and so they wallow in the mud, and you clean it up, and the mixed woman, they feel itchy, and they go there and they scrub themselves. You know. And that's the same thing with most animals. Even the cow, the hippopotamus. Why did they wallow in the mud? You know, in all these places, because, you know, they have to wipe themselves clean with the body of the flea or whatever that's bothering them, you see. Alright? So it's not that the dog is an unclean animal in that sense, but it's just something that people traditionally always consider dog a term, derogatory. And so to the Jew, the dog is, when you use and say somebody is a dog, is usually referred to the Gentiles. You know, we are the dogs. We are actually the dogs. Huh? And so when the Bible talks about dogs, and it's somebody that is not good, somebody that who is not the right in the right frame of mind. You know, somebody who is wicked, somebody who is a liar or a cheater, or somebody who is up to something that is up to no good. You see? So, and you know, dogs are usually, if you're not watchful, if you those who get dogs who are stray dogs, they are not your home dogs, they tend to steal things. If you have a food and you're sitting there in the park, and this stray dog will come and stick and pick up your meat and go away. You know, your food and go away. That's how usually you refer to dogs. In the book of Revelation, you have without the dogs, the holy city New Jerusalem, without the dogs and so forth. You know. Alright? So beware of dogs. Let's go to Matthew 6, or Matthew chapter 7, and refer to some of these verses though. Matthew chapter 7, and verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Give not that which is holy unto the dog. Normally when we give dog food, we always tend to throw it to the dog. Especially when if you have your own pet, you would normally put it in a bowl, a dog bowl, and give it to them. But if it's just a dog and you have something in the mouth and you eat it and you just throw that whatever left over, throw it to the dog. You see, it's something derogatory. You understand the meaning of that dog thing. You see. Alright? And then we can also go to Galatians chapter 5 verse 15. Galatians chapter 5 verse 15.
But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not consume one another. And when you see dog in a pack and they throw a piece of meat or whatever, they tend to fight among themselves. They tear it up and they'll bite each other and so on. And so here now, Paul says, beware of dogs. And dogs are dangerous. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. These concision are parasitical people. Concision means those who are mutilators. You know what mutilators are? Those who come to mutilate. Those who come to tear apart. Those who come to cut up. Or cut up. You know what a mutilate is, huh? Take a knife and you just cut person up, or you cut him up and throw a piece here and there. And this concision actually refers to, usually, are those Pharisees tribe, are the groups. Many of them, you know, in the book of Galatians, Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, who have deceived you? Why? Because there were those Pharisees who were converted. And they still hold to the law and they want those Gentiles to be circumcised. They want those Gentile believers to be circumcised. And you know, circumcision is cutting. Circumcision. And you can use a form like concision in the sense of intellect of the cut. But this is not referring to those who talk about circumcision in itself, but those who spiritually come out and mutilate the Word of God and cover up the Word of God, or to bring forth false doctrine and false teaching. That's what it is. And Paul warned them before and then he warned them again. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now it is important for us to have the truth. Those who do not speak according to the word of God, it is because there is no light in them. The Pharisees, why did they come against the Lord Jesus? It's because they don't have light in them. They challenge the Lord. The Pharisees, they challenge the Lord. It's because they do not have light in them. And these are the people that are of the concision group. These are those who are the dogs, the evil workers. They came and they speak things and they say things. It seems that they know something, but they don't. Like we have in this end time message, the same thing. Like in every organization or any movement, Pentecostal, Baptism, Presbyterian, or in the past, Charismatic today, we have a lot of those so-called preachers claiming to have revelation, but instead there is no light in them, and therefore they mutilate. They begin to say things that actually cut away the truth of God. I remember one time when I was visiting these believers was dying of leukemia. I went there because Peter Lim called me from Sydney and asked me whether I could, so I went. And when the hospital, I seen that, oh, he was in his last stage of leukemia. Blood already flew out from his nose and ears and mouth. And was lying in bed, the family was there, mom was there, and the sister were there and they were crying. And I went in and I saw that and I realized the man is gone. And after just about 5 minutes, here came a young man into the ward and greeted everybody because they are from the same church, the Assemblies of God, where I came from. He went up to the bed and looked at the young man in the bed. And he called his name and said, oh, brother so-and-so, so-and-so. You know, I can't remember the young man's name. Oh, you're not going to die. The Lord's going to heal you. And the parents, the mother was looking, the sister was looking at him, wondering what on earth he's talking like this. Then he raised his voice to them and said, oh, no way. Lord Jesus is going to heal you. He's not going to die. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, If God is going to take someone home, your faith is not going to change God's mind.
So I look at me now and I say, oh my, this here is a man with no understanding, no light. He believes that seems that when a person is sick or dying, God will raise him up. When a person is sick and dying, God is going to raise him up. Then he says, all Christians will not die. Isn't it? Why is the lack of revelation and understanding of what God is dealing with human life?
So they just give you false hope to the mother. And I think that they knew that this man is just talking and not making any sense. And these are people we see not only the charismatic, but we see in different churches. And as long as the church still remains on this earth, regardless of whatever affiliation you may be with, whatever denomination, there will always be this conflict. But those who are dark, for those who have no light, for those who are holding to a dogma, to a creed, or to the law, to a tradition, and then they can say things and take you your faith away or try to destroy you without them knowing that they are actually destroying you. Now you take, for example, you think about Paul. When Paul was Saul, the Pharisees, do you think that he realized that what he was doing to seek out all those believers of the way and bring them to judgment and cast them in prison, do you think that he knows what he believed he was doing, that it was wrong? He had no idea. But he thought it was right. He thought it was God's will for him to take these people, seek them out, and put them into prison, bring them to judgment. You know, the reason why Paul did that was Paul had no right. He was holding to a wall, he was holding to tradition that darkened his understanding. Isn't it so? And it wasn't for God's grace and mercy to meet him on his way to Damascus, he would be still the same old Paul, the Pharisees. And Paul, having that revelation now and became an apostle, going through all this apostle ministry, travel high and low, in different places, different countries, different cities, to seas and mountains and valleys, being afflicted and robbed and thrown into prison many times, all because he realized the importance of the light, and he wanted to keep this light, and he wanted to sort of indoctrinate the believers to hold this light, to see this light at all times. Cast your eyes upon Mount Zion. Always focus on that light. Once your eyes are off that light, you know what? It's rooted. You see nothing. So Paul said, now, what I'm going to tell you, you know what? It's for you. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision. Now, we are the one that is truly circumcised. Not the one who holds to the law. Not the one who try to keep a creed or a dogma. Or what we call the fundamental truth of the church. Now we are not keeping the fundamental truth of the church. We are keeping the fundamental truth of the Word of God. Huh? Because you're talking about keeping the fundamental truth of the church. You're talking about the consensus. Consensus. Consensus of the church. Everybody believe in this. Everybody believe that. Okay, we all agree that we dropped out something. You know what I mean? We have this 16 fundamental truth, 20 fundamental truth, or whatever it is. Huh? You know, the enemies of God, they have 16 fundamental truths. But now many churches don't want this fundamental truth anymore. 16, some 8, some I don't know, 12, whatever. So everybody now bring into our one consensus, one simple. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in one God. We believe in salvation in Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. And that's about it. So everybody is fine. Isn't it? Huh? But what we believe is we hold to the fundamental truth of God as God revealed to us. Moving on in the light of God. Not staying in history. You understand that? Now, 20 years ago, if you are still around here, or 10 years ago that you are here, Those are history, huh? You understand? We have progressed already 20 years, 10 years to this time. So what do you have gained? You have gained more, isn't it? You have gained more because you are progressively moving on with the Lord. Is that right? So what God has shown you 20 years ago, hold it and move on. That's why Paul, that's why Joshua. When Moses died, God took Joshua. He says, hold to the law of Moses and I will bring you across. And I will guide you and lead you. Is that right? Sure, take the word and the revelation that God progress is shown to you. Hold on to it and move on. Is that right? We don't throw those things in history away, no. But don't just go back to history and say, no, we don't need to move on. We just hold on to what we have in history. We don't need to learn anymore. That's why some people say, why you are so important for us to learn doctrine? There are churches that don't care about doctrine. Certain doctrine divides. Doctrines merely are the teachings of God. Is that right? They are God's teaching revelation to us to teach us and show us what's ahead of us. And that the way you go to school, primary to secondary, secondary to college, and then to university. Each time you learn something, you know that you have to learn more because you need to learn more so that you can apply it when you go out to work. If you don't want to go for further study, you end up with only secondary or just a primary education, and then you go out to work. How much can you know, how much do you know that a company would accept you for a job that you have no idea how to apply the principle? Isn't it all right? So how are we going on this journey to where we are going? And we merely say, oh, I'm a child of God. Oh, I thank God. I thank the Lord Jesus for saving me. And then you come to church with cotton wool in your ear. Is that what you do? And then you know nothing about anything else. All you know is, oh, Jesus saved me. He's my Savior. That's all. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. You understand what I'm saying, huh? Paul is always putting that to remembrance to his saints, to his people. So we are the circumcision because you are circumcised in the heart. As a spiritual circumcision and physical circumcision does not count. You understand? Now it's sad, isn't it? There are some I don't know, what is a Muslim group or is it some kind of cult or some pagan religion that is in Africa, they even circumcise the woman. You read in the paper, you read in the news. They must circumcise the woman. That is mutilation. These are those, like Paul says, beware the concision. These are people who tell you that this thing must be done, in order to get that. Huh? You know what must be done in order to get there, up there, is that you walk in the light. Simple as that. Alright? Which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This is what Paul wants to stress now. Have no confidence in the flesh. Don't follow the man. Don't follow this group here that tells this. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Then said I, Lord, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eye have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, until you see the Lord, until you come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, until you come to the place where you realize that Jesus is the Lord, His King, His Savior, His Creator and all this, and you accept Him, until you are really born again, you do not realize that you are so filthy. You don't think so? You know, I was watching this program on television. It has been advertising all on, so I never get to see it. So last time, this signal now happened to be on, so it was called Get Real. Another one was about, but the reason why was about those men in Singapore, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old perhaps, oh, they go over the bottom. Huh? and then go and seek up all these young girls, 30, 40, 50, 16 years old, and make them sex slaves. And they give all the reason why there is no guilt in them. What they did, you know what they were doing, what they are doing even now, they say, well, it's nothing wrong. Somebody sell, I buy. There's a trade. And I wish Singapore government pass a law, really. You know, the law here, you don't do that. But they go overseas, they do it. So what's the difference? You mean that boundaries become a problem? You know. So well then, they don't consider that they are filthy. I just walk out of prison and say, why? This man don't feel guilt. They are 50, 40, 50, 60 years old, man. And the girl could be their granddaughter. Huh? And they don't feel any guilt at all. Because it's not something to be done. And one man said, even my wife came with me and look out for me. You see the mentality? There is no guilt, there is no light, they live in darkness. And so, everything is never realized to be wrong. That this is sinful. Now perhaps if one of them comes to the gospel and the eyes open, then you know. Woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips! My flesh is filthy! I am a dog! They ought to come to that realization, you know? And that's why Isaiah said, oh my! And even let's go to another verse, Job chapter 42. Job 42. 5-6. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now my eyes see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And you always think about your life. You think that, you know, sometime. You know, today we are living, Singapore is so modern. You young people don't realize it. You are in a society. You are in this 21st century now. Alright? Some of you are only in your teen or 20 now. You people may not realize it. You grew up in this generation. And you have, oh, television, color television. My! You have VCR, oh my, now you have CD, oh my, now you have DVD. Oh, you have internet. If all electronic things, fantastic. But you know what? What you have today in this world, as knowledge increases, the sins of men on this earth were increased. When they are able to harness the mysteries of creation or invention, man's life is not for the better. It's always for the worst. Back in those days, in the 50s and the 60s, you will never see an advertisement of a woman in swimsuit in a newspaper or on television in black and white. We have black and white television in those days. You will never see it. Only that is in America, not here. In America back then in the 40s, in the 50s, any woman that advertised for anything in swimsuit is always a full swimsuit. Then suddenly, lo and behold, it became a bikini. It's getting more scandy, isn't it? Is that alright? Government here prevented all those magazines from coming in. I remember those days when I first went to the state, they come back, they ask me, they always look through, you got any Playboy magazine? Huh? That's what they ask, you got any Playboy magazine? But today, what Playboy magazine? Here we have already on television, on the screen, rated R, nudity. For those who are 21 and above, now they have in Singapore. Now we would have what they call a crazy horse. You think all these things are progressed? No. This is not progression. This is regression. Men have become degrading down low. So that's true, isn't it? You talk about the electronic things that men have achieved. The CGI. Oh, fantastic. Powerful computer to create things like King Kong. How real is that? Hey, it's very real, isn't it? Now in those days when you see all those monster movies, they are using clay. And you see how they move, they are jerking. They're because they have the time frame to take the image of the monster is all made of clay. You know, it looks funny, you see. But today, King Kong, my. Look at Jurassic Park. Oh, my. And you know what they do with this CGI today? They are creating sexual pleasure for man or woman. Imaged. Imaged. All you have to do is to put on a headgear, you see three dimensions, a woman in it or a man in it, which suits your fantasy. Put all the senses around you, and it looks real. You think we are in progress? No, we are not. This world cannot continue, and that's why God has to call it to a halt. Don't think you have future yet ahead of you. Oh, I look to the Lord and says, Lord, won't you come next 2 years? I'm 60 years old by then. This will be 60 years by then. Half the age of the man's lifespan, 120. Won't you come? How long could this all go on? All men produce nuclear power. Nuclear power? You think it is for good? Even Iran, they wanted one. They said it's for all their power and all this. Do you think they're really doing for that? They're making bombs. Think about it. You think nuclear power is so many good things? Look at Chernobyl. What happened? One leak. How many people suffered radiation? It's nothing good. You want to make things convenient, but out of that, man can harness it and brought forth wicked power in that. Now you know what, brother and sister, I only think about taking off from here to go home. I just want to go home. And we always go, Lord, how long, Lord? How long? Huh? Suppose that we are of the circumcised. We are more confident in the flesh. There's nothing good in this physical body, this natural body. It's a dying thing. It's a corrupting. That's what Jesus said. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's right. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. Whether you circumcise in the flesh or not, like a Jew and like all these Pharisees, and those are converted, still hold to the law. Paul said, then he is not of any value. You don't put your confidence in the flesh and say, oh, I've kept it. I'm circumcised. Or I've kept the law, I've done this, I've done that. No! Paul said, we are no confident in the flesh. You will help us and do us no good. Do you understand that? So always focus your eyes on the Lord. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he have more whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now Paul says, I'm going to tell you something. I want to go to repeat again. I'm going to repeat and tell you more about what I'm saying. You know, Paul said this many times in his epistle. Oh, why did Paul, why you have so much about, you know, yourself and about this and that? Paul is the one who has been through what few men have gone. And I don't think to be even men, I don't even quantify what any man who have done what Paul has, or have been what Paul has been. He was a Pharisee. Gone through all the history, education. That's why he is able to say what he said. He says, anybody think that he trusts more in the flesh, I more. And he said this, circumcise the 8th day of the stock of Israel. Oh my, circumcise the 8th day of the stock of Israel. You see, you know, most children in Israel, when they are born, and after 8 days, they circumcise. Many people don't, many of the children don't do it. But if you keep the law 8 days, exactly, that, fulfill that 8th day. 8th day is a day, 8 is a representation of a new cycle. Huh? 8 is a beginning. Do re mi fa so la ti, do re mi fa so la ti, do. It's always an eighth one. 7 days in a week, the eighth day is the beginning of new week, new day. So Jesus got resurrected on the first day of the week, so new. So eight is always there, and Paul says, look, I am circumcised on the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel. Hey, I come from the good stock. Huh? You talk about what stock you think you are. What stock are you in? Levi stock? Or maybe Naphtali stock? Hey, I am of the stock of Israel. But only in that, he says, of the tribe of Benjamin. You're Naphtali, nothing much. Levi, nothing much. I am from the tribe of Benjamin. You know why Benjamin? When the Israel were broken up into two kingdoms, the 10 kingdoms in the north, there were two tribes in the south. 10 tribes in the north. Those in the south, there were two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. So that's why they were so proud. So we are very closely related. I'm a Benjamin tribe, and with Judah, we are what we are here, only holding on to this land. Those 10 tribes, they are, they're rascals somehow anyway. They were all taken up and go to Assyria. Huh? We went to Babylon, we came back, we hold to this, and we still hold to that land, we hold to the... Many of the tribes, the 10 tribes, don't really come back. So Paul was saying, look, I'm of the Israel, you know, of the prince, Israel. You know, the son of Abraham and of Isaac. And of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrew, a pure Hebrew. Kind of sounds like racist here, huh? Paul is on both. You talk about flesh in the flesh, I'm more. Like you know today, all these white races, people in the state, the Ku Klux Klan and all these other groups. And those that believe that the blacks are the serpent seed, the one ever. You know, America has gone through a long history. More than 200 years now. When it first started, you know, the black was slave. Abraham Lincoln's and others, presidents fought for the freedom. They got their freedom. And then what? In New York City or Chicago City, you know, a black man or black woman get up into the best and sit there. And then here comes a white woman or what? Oh, she has to give up a seat for a white lady to sit down. And there was some that a black man gets up and a white lady sits there. There's a seat on the lap beside the white lady. He's not allowed to sit there. And when the bus is packed, it's full, all black people cannot sit, they must stand. Those were all the things that were there in those years. Why? This is white racism. They were there. And they took one woman, a black woman, to stand for it, to stand up for it and fight against that. The racist spirit. But today, there's still all this racism spirit all around. Huh? And Paul is trying to prove that this racist spirit, I want to stop. What good is that? So what? You're pure Chinese? You don't mean nothing. It's not right. You're pure Indian? It means nothing. You can trace your line all the way to any of the tribe of Israel or to whoever it is, some great somebody, it still means nothing. For all of sin that comes from the glory of God. The flesh is filthy. Corrupt. Paul, you don't talk about flesh? Paul says, I'm more. Hey, I came from that stock. A Hebrew of the Hebrew. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. As holding to the law, I keep it. I am a Pharisee. I make no mistake. I keep it exactly. Oh, Paul. You know, Paul is just a man like that. You know, he's just like the rich young man that Jesus talked to. Oh, we keep all the law. You know what I mean? But unlike the rich young man, Paul was of the pure, of this pure stuff in Israel, and he was circumcised the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew. Wow. He did everything perfectly right. Wow, what can you find fault in this man? Huh? Everywhere he went, when there was Pharisees, you know, in the Sanhedrin court, everybody look at Paul, he's a great intellect. A man who loved God, a man who has true evil, who a man who fulfilled the law. Straightforward. Just plenty to feed them all. Nobody could find for the poor.
Paul said, I don't trust in the flesh.
Concerning zeal. You talk about zeal. You talk about working for the Lord. Hey, look at me, man. It's a point. Don't do it. Look at me. I persecute the church. He did what he thought was right. Huh? This man is preaching Jesus. That this is the way. What are these people doing? They are destroying our heritage, our religion, our faith that was given to us by Moses. Huh? Isn't it? But you see, Paul didn't have the light. He acted according to his intellect. He acted according to the knowledge that he was brought in. He was raised as a little boy in the family of Israel. Benjamin tried all the way up. So he was raised up in that. That's, you know, why, you know, brothers, there are two things. I mean, there's this pro and con. Those of you young ones, when you're raised up in the family, it either can bring you to the knowledge of God or it destroys you. It does. It could. Depends on how you were raised up by the parents. But when it comes to the age of accountability, when it comes to the age where you already, you should be able to grasp this truth, now you have to face the consequence now. You cannot put your problem or your failure upon your parents. Because you now have to stand before God, and you have to stand before the throne of God alone. Your parents are not going to stand beside you. Isn't that all right? You see. So you need to read the fire. He, having no light, thought what he did was right. So he persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The righteousness is in the law. Yeah, of course, that's true, isn't it? Huh? What did we sing in the song? The law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul, eh? Isn't it? So the law is the word of God that keep the people to serve God then in the knowledge of God. And so Paul said, has touching the law, I keep it perfect. Huh? I was blameless. Circumcised, yes, circumcised. Every festive season, I kept those feasts. If Paul said, if I have sinned against the Lord, what was required by the law, I perform it. Wow. And truly enough, I think that Paul was able to say this, and because it is true. So much so, when Paul was converted, people couldn't believe it. You know, you have been in this religion for so long, suddenly you change, huh? You turn the corner. And people know that you have been against this religion that you have not taken. How can they believe it? They know the kind of person Paul was. They say it's so hard for the men to believe the first time when Paul became a convert. So this is the man who has been persecuting the church. Can we trust him? Well, a lot of people try to do right. But doing right, not according to the word of the Lord, is not right in the eyes of God anyway. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the way of death. And Paul was just doing that in those times. Blameless and everything. So here we have today this very message that God has given us. We have two sides of people fighting against the very truth that God gave us. One, those who have received the message themselves, they are still fighting against the very truth, not realizing that they are fighting it. Why? Because they trust in men. They trust in the flesh of Brother Brown. See that? They trust in the flesh of Brother Branham. Have no confidence in the flesh, your flesh or the flesh of any man. Realize that? Do you realize that? But people don't think much of it. They think, oh, grow up. They trust the flesh of the man. But Paul said to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. What does it mean? Follow his flesh? His intellect? Or follow the way of walk that Paul had? You humiliate the man's spiritual character. You follow his walk in Christ. But don't trust in the flesh of the man. Just because he said, do this. You think that is the way that will take you to heaven? Or that's the way to take you to glory lane? Paul said, I'm not confident in the flesh. Do you understand this thing now? Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow the way I live my life. Follow the what my life emulate. Or shown to you, you emulate it. They are the example. Look at the life of these Old Testament prophets and saints, all the saints in the Old Testament. They were all written here for what? For admonition. Huh? That we can emulate the example. Like somebody failed. Okay, now we have King David. He failed in his dealing with, Uriah. Just because he wanted Bathsheba. And God showed him that he was wrong. Immediately he repent. Is that right? That's what we should do. Follow that example. You understand that? Not for the example that he go ahead and did what he did to get Uriah to the front line, getting killed, and then he could get the wife of the man. That's not what we're supposed to emulate. Do you understand that? Follow me as I follow Christ. Timothy, if I preach my hand showing this action, you do exactly what I do. Is that what he does? Is that what it's supposed to be? You know, there are some people who imitate Brother Barron, you know. But that is not what it is to follow a man. You understand that? Do you understand that? Huh? But what things? Let's just go Romans 10 anyway, for one place. Romans 10, 1 to 3. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For the Bible then record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and of going about to establish their own righteousness, having not committed themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's what Paul was. Touching righteousness of the law, he was blameless. It was a good zeal. But it was a trust in their own righteousness instead of the righteousness of the Word of God. Now, I ask you this question. Brother and sister, you're here, believe in this truth. But most of all, are you born again? And if you are born again, remember this, you're already a child of God. Is that right? And God has given you the righteousness of Christ. He has imputed upon you His righteousness. That's all you have already. So how can you trust anymore beyond that? Can you add anything more to the righteousness of God? You cannot. So that is your guarantee. You understand that? The righteousness of Christ in which He imparted His Spirit in you. And all you have to do is to manifest that token of the Spirit of righteousness of Christ. Which we are, we should be. Because after all, we are epistle read of all men. We can't hide that light which is on a hill. A city that is built on a hill, you cannot hide that light. Isn't it? A city that is built on a hill cannot be hit. So can we, are you still thinking that the, no, don't ever, you know, sometimes we feel that we find ourselves so, you know, when you look in the mirror, sometimes we feel kind of ashamed because we did some bad thing. Huh? And we find ourselves, you just abhor yourself. Well, which is good. But don't think that you look at yourself and you hug yourself and feel that, oh, I wonder if I'm really going to heaven. And what if I really am a child of God? Now, if you ever think that way, you better go and kneel on your knees and pray through and see whether you are a child of God. You better come to the revelation that you are a child of God. Huh? If I ask my son here, are you my son? Ah, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think it'd be? Huh? Is that right, Timothy? If I ask you, are you a son of Brother Patrick here? I don't know. So if you don't know whether you are a child of your father, then you better get to find out whether you are. If you are walking in this world not knowing whether you are a child of God, you understand that? We have the confidence that once you are born again, according to the word of God, you have received that revelation, you are confident that you have a place with God. Because you are His child. And you trust in no flesh, nothing. Right? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, Paul was saying I was dead wrong. Now I consider I was dead wrong in what I was doing. Huh? It was all considered lost now. It's hopeless. I emptied myself. Yes, right? Yet, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. Oh, I like the way the Paul put this thing. I count all things like dung. You know what dung? I want to say about this. These are four letter words. It's a four-letter word here. Okay, now we have about four-letter words in the world. And some four-letter words are very vulgar, some four-letter words are okay, but some four-letter words to some people still consider vulgar. And so young people, be careful of how you use four-letter words. It's okay to use these four-letter words down here. After all, you know, it's society that frames the mind. And the ideology of what is to be accepted and not to be accepted. Huh? Listen, there was this man who was, he's a real friend of mine anyway. You know, he came to my website and he said, oh, I love your website. But then he found some of the teaching to him was contrary, so he began to find fault. That's when he came across one of my books where I used the word, four letter word, S-H-I-T, shit. Let me just plainly say the word out so for those who think that the word S-H-I-T, shit, it's a vulgar word. Huh? What is it considered a vulgar word? To him, it's considered vulgar. Now you walk down the road and I say, you're stepping on some dog feces. Oh, brother, you're stepping on dog feces! Well, it sounds kind of strange. The first thing we do is, don't step on that sheep! You want to say, don't step on the dog dung! You see the mentality of how we will use certain words? Huh? So, what do you do? I said, okay, now somebody, you know, we are not Puritans here. We are not Puritans here to act like we are so holy, that certain word cannot be spoken in those days of Victoria, Queen Victoria's time. You know, even in Queen Victoria's time, that the women are not allowed to show their legs. That's why they skirt all the way down to the floor, and they will have stocking. They are not allowed to show their legs. Today you see legs of girls, of ladies. You see, they are Puritan's time. They have different ideology of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why they transfer the word dung. In the Bible, of course, the word dung actually comes from the word anything that's thrown to the dung, anything that's filthy, anything that is the odious or feces or whatever. Something that is dirty. You understand that? Now, you go to the bathroom. You know, common people, uneducated people, I mean, we're more, those of us are more educated, we are more refined. If you want to go and to the toilet, and you want to open your bowel, is that right? Some people say, oh, like in Africa, when I want to, one time I just want to go to, you know, to the toilet. Of course, some
Americans call it the, what do you call that?
Comfort room.
Restroom.
Restroom. Why call it restroom? You know, it's just a nice word to say, you go there and rest. Rest your bowel, rest whatever. You know, or the comfort room, because you're uncomfortable in the bowels, you know. But in English, we use the word toilet. Not to have a long toilet, but a little toy called a lip. Toilet. Little toy. So you ask me, Mr. Brother Gan, are you going to have a long call or short call? I says, what? I'm not going to phone anything. I'm not going there. I'm going to the toilet. I'm not going to make a phone call. You know, because a brother asked me to go and see the other brother. So when I went to the brother, he was already passing information that I want to go and go to the toilet. So he just asked me, you want to have a long call or short call? I was thinking he asked me whether I want to make a phone call. You understand? It just being a gentle kind of a way of speech. You understand that? You see? So then I realized, oh, okay, that's what it means, you know. Short call. Long call means, so they are being like trying to more refine. Then in Bendri's that chunker, sing song, you know. You want to go and go to take a short call, you the little children, so you say it's a sing song. You know this sort of thing, you know. So, you know, if you say, if you have people who are not really educated in all these things, maybe like a primary school student. Where are you going? I'm going to sit. You know, they would say, I'm going to sit. Things like that. So what's wrong with the word being crude about it? I don't see, I understand. But one thing is crude is when you get angry and you start to curse. You know what I mean? You start to use a four-letter word. That is wrong. That's no good because you are getting all these things in your spirit. What about if you are angry, you say, dunk, dunk, dunk. How different does it sound? It would sound different, wouldn't it? You wouldn't want to do that anyway. People say, what are you talking about? Huh? Or when you are angry, you say, you see, you understand what I'm saying? It's only because of the society that formed this image. But the most important thing is that when you are in society, you have to conform to the image. You understand that you have to conform to the rule and norm and how to interact. You see, of course, this, when it was translated here, it was translated as dung. Some translate as feces. In some translation of thicker matter, or dog feces. You use the word dog feces. Huh? Because it seems that the dog feces is smells bad. Whatever. Huh? So, you know, so we need to realize that we don't want to use certain word, whether it's four letter or five letter, whatever it is. Huh? Even certain words, they are not even four letter. When you get angry, you start to, you know what I mean? Just the word bloody. You know what it is? When your house is, when you go to a slaughterhouse, you see all the blood on the floor. Oh, I say, oh, that's a bloody mess there. Huh? But you scold somebody, are you a bloody fool? You know what I mean? You get angry, you know what I mean? And that's become a vulgar thing. You understand what I'm saying? You see? So there are words sometimes, when you call somebody, don't be an idiot. That sounds okay. Don't be stupid. That sounds okay. You're a fool. Then it sounds a little bit bad, maybe. But I don't know, the idea of people is the norm. So the only thing that is that we don't use words. You know, we don't scold people or we don't say anything. Just hold your peace. And that's the most moral thing. Alright? So Paul says, I call all this thing my knowledge. All this thing is dumb. I mean, all this are just figure matter. All this thing are just waste. Refuge. That I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, be found in Him. Be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by Him. Whenever you read the Bible, of God, of God, of God, think that pertains to God. Righteousness, that which is of God. So if you don't have this righteousness of God, you are none of His. Your own righteousness cannot see you through. Your own righteousness prevents you from you having any place in heaven with the Lord. Is that right? Okay? Let us go to James 2:20. Alright. That's James 2:20. We can be coming back to this here for a little bit. James 2:20. to 26. Was not Abraham our father? But we know, all vain men, that faith, without works, is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought by his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rachel the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out in other ways. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. Now here is in Philippians, Paul talks about the righteousness of Christ, which is of God by faith. It is a faith that works. You are not having salvation or be a child of God by faith and works. Remember, huh? It is not faith plus work. Do you understand? It is a faith that works. And only faith that works can only come by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness of Christ in you. A faith that God gave you that will work. That's what Jay was talking about that. Show me your faith without a work, and I will show you my faith and work. So that this work that will show you that my faith is actually real. It work. It brings forth a work. Do you understand that? Huh? James is not talking about faith and work so that you can have the righteousness of God. No. You have the righteousness of God, you have that faith. And it is a faith that produces a certain result. Abraham have a faith that works. He didn't work for it. He didn't say, now Lord, I'm going to sacrifice my son for you. No. Abraham had the faith and God imputed upon him righteousness. Is that right? Then God wants to see how that faith will work. He says, now I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. Abraham said, yes. Because he had the revelation. It's a faith that is real. It produced a work to show that faith is not dead. A faith that believed God's word in the first place, knowing that word will produce a result. Is that right? Rachel. He realized she knew who this God of Israel was. The army of Israel come out is slain. Now they're going to take Jericho. She and her family will be at the mercy of this army of Israel. But she had the revelation that the Yahweh, the God of Israel, is powerful. Huh? So she was waiting for it to come, and when the messenger came, he told the messenger, I'm going to keep you, I'm going to safeguard you. But when you come back and take this city, remember us. Remember us. And the soldiers there says, yes, the spies says, yes. All you have to do is put this color thread. And when we see it, we will keep our promise. Is that right? And she had that faith. She did exactly. You see, when you have something that is real from the Lord, it will produce a work. It will manifest itself to be real. Isn't it? It's nothing for you to do. You don't have to struggle to do something for God. God will work it out in your life. Do you understand that? It is God working a work in your life. Remember this. We are God's workmanship. He planted the seed faith in your life, in your spirit. What do you think it's supposed to do? It's supposed to grow, isn't it? Huh? Is that not right? So he will cause that seed to germinate, to bear for leaves, to bear for branches, to bear for fruits. It's all the working of God. That's what Paul says, I don't trust in the flesh, nor in my righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ. It is a faith that works. Verse 10, That I may know him. And a lot of people go to church, not really know Jesus Christ, you know. And when just somebody is, okay, for example, now, if I ask you a question, do you know Lee Kuan Yew? Sure, you know Lee Kuan Yew. Huh? Our MM, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, you all know him? Yeah, you all know him. How much do you know him? Oh, I know him. He was formerly the first Prime Minister of Singapore. He was the father, the founder of modern Singapore. You read all about him in the paper, hear about him in the news media. Right? Is that right? Oh, you have so many children, you have this wife, and this, you have this achievement, blah, 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 blah. That's about all you hear in the news about, but do you really know him? It's another story. Huh? There's a lot of people in the world today, you know Jesus? Oh yeah, I know Jesus. What do you know about him? Oh, he's the founder of Christianity. I also saw the film, The Passion. I saw how he died. And he died in a place called Calvary. Now we can know all about this by knowledge. Huh? Is that not right? But that's not what Paul here said. That I may know him is that you have an intimacy with him. Until the righteousness of Christ comes into your life, you will not really know Christ. You will really know Christ. Oh, I wish that you have an experience with the Lord. To come to a place, you know, the intimacy with the Lord. The reality of it. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Alright, let's go to the book of Romans 6, 3 to 5. Romans 6, 3 to 5. Know you not that many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, you know him, you take the name of Jesus when you go to water baptism. Huh? You go into water baptism, you go to die with the Lord Jesus Christ. You bury your old man with him. Your flesh, your carnality, you get buried in that. Is that right? So when you resurrect out, you are resurrected to new life. You show that you are now a different person. Now if this experience is not a reality, then something is wrong. Water baptism is an experience. When you go in, you know you're going to be a new person. You're not going to be the old crappy person that you once were. You're going to be somebody different now. Is that right? Okay, let's go to another verse. John 17:3. Alright? John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that you might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Now we need to realize that about Christ's suffering. Now you all have seen The Passion. Well, you know one thing about the movie The Passion? Do you think it has done any good for people around the world, or is it done more bad? You know, for a sinner to go into there and watch this movie, you just, oh my, that's how he suffered. Oh yeah, I see. Okay. For the Roman Catholic, they go inside there. You start to cry. You know, they'll be more upset. Do you know what I'm saying? But you know what this movie had done to the world? Because it was produced by the Catholic man, it has brought a lot of churches together and heading back to Rome. That's what had been in the survey. You see how powerful the media can work out. Yeah? Do you understand that? You see? Because it was produced by a Catholic. And so they say, oh, the Catholic understand this. Now it's one thing to understand and know the suffering or the person of Christ, what he had gone through. But it's another thing for us to recognize not just the suffering, but the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in the Word of life itself. What the Word means to us, because He was the Word of God manifest. Not something, some creed or some dogmas. So what it was produced by a Catholic man. Or for that matter, what it was produced by a Pentecostal or Protestant. People tend to associate with the producer or the director or even the actor whose surname happened to have the initial of JC. You know, people even call him on the roadside, they saw him, "Hello, JC!" You know his name, isn't it? So it's just a movie, and now you're wondering, was anything good? For us who know the Bible, we look at it, okay, yeah, it's good. But you see one thing, what you see in a movie is one thing. But what you have in the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the Word, in reality, in your spirit, and your spiritual walk with God, is another thing altogether. People can watch the movie and start crying. And that may be just pure emotion. Do you understand that? It's just like what we have in every Good Friday or whatever they have, you know. Or even at Christmas, you have the Black Nazarene, you have all these flagellants, all this procession going on. It's an emotional thing. In the Philippines especially, when you have the procession, when they carry all these idols, the Nino and Nino, you know, all these little baby boy Jesus walking down in all this procession. You can see the Catholic woman standing on her side and they will cry too. You see, religion is an emotion, which is true. And there are some people said, I don't remember who it was, Karl Marx or who, he said their religion is the opiate of humanity. It's an opiate. To numb their senses, they may feel good. Oh, yes, you know, when it's true opium, it's supposed to be, you feel lightheaded and suddenly you're floating up in heaven or something. Huh? But you know, to us who are born again, this faith of ours is real. It drew us closer to the Lord, it knitted us close to Christ, that is not an opium. It's a relationship. A reality of life. So Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Whatever you go through suffering in this life, fellowship with Christ. Because He has suffered more than you ever think, or could ever thought of. Huh? He took the whole sins, the sins of the world upon Him. You are born to live, He was born to die. He was born to face the cross of death. You are born to live, to achieve something in your life, whatever it is. Mankind is what they are only do. Leave your good name behind when you die, so that when your life passes on, your name is left on the earth for generation and generation. And even people talk about in the news, in the forum, about, doing something good for Singapore, that when you die, passed away, you live upon the next generation. That your name will go down in history and things like that. So, that's good. But that's not all there is to it. Is that right? Being made conformable unto His death. We close it here in this last part. Being made conformable unto His death. Let's go to Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him, without the camp, bearing His reproach. For we have no continuity. Yes, sir, Paul said, being made conformable unto His death. Having my own spiritual experience to develop into the same pattern of His. Like unto His own death, the way we should suffer with Him. You know, Jerusalem refused to accept Jesus Christ. They refused to accept Him. So what did they do? They took Him out of the city and crucified Him without the camp of Israel, of Jerusalem. We don't have a continuous city here. This world is not home, it's just passing through. So while we are here, let us be conformed to the image of Christ in His suffering. So that when men look at you, they say, oh, this is a believer of Jesus Christ. They will know by your walk, by your life, that if you walk through to the word of the Lord, they will identify you with the Lord Jesus. And Christ was despised by men, and so will you be despised. Many Christians actually despise. But in a city like ours, sure, in a country like ours, we're trying to have religious harmony. If not, in many countries, man, we are considered outcasts. Christians will be considered outcasts. In China, under the communist rule, one time, so was it in Russia, and also today, even in North Korea, and many countries too. Especially when you live in a land where there's no religious tolerance, and they think that, you know, Christians are enemies of their religion. So let us fellowship with Christ according to what He had in His experience with God the Father, fellowship with God, and how that He suffered through. Let us recognize the power of His resurrection. Let us know Him, who He really is. And having expressed most of us, you have taken a water baptism, that we may come to that revelation of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that resurrection, we have no life. And that's the thing. Christ came, one, to die. Two, He was buried. Three, He was resurrected. And four, He was seen of all men of that time. Seen by disciples. Is that right? And five, He was taken up into heaven. And when He was taken up, He says, oh, come back. And we can believe that what He said, when He said, I will come back, we can believe that He will come back. That's why today, to many people, Christianity is, to some people, Christianity or Christian people is only a fantasy. You are thinking about, oh, the heaven's up there, you all go to heaven, and things like that. Huh? You think of, they're especially the agnostic or the atheist. No, there's no such thing as heaven. Or to those who believe in Nirvana. You know, you get reincarnate, either downward or upward, whatever it is, until you become one with the universe and non-existing. I don't know how could that be. How can you believe in Nirvana when you don't even believe in creation? That God created. Huh? That you can just going to become a dog or cat, going back upwards to be a rich man, blah, 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 and then you disappear. And all the life you have to do is to be good. Huh? If you happen to be a dog, you have to be a good dog. Or else you still go downwards to become a cat. Or else worse, to become a frog. You know, so you better be good in whatever, so you could go upwards to become. And then you keep on going up, then, oh, I'm a rich man now. My life was in kind of rich man. Then what are you going to do? Rich man, you say, I'm not good. Oh, I must give money and all these things to financial. Okay, then you become a monk the next time. Huh? And you keep on going until something you disappear to be nothing. And how could you believe in this thing when in the first place you don't believe in the Creator? Because that's what all the animals are, the mankind are, all the trees are. They're all created. Isn't it? You see. So there are a lot of things that don't mix up to a lot of people, but they don't know because they don't have the light. But we thank God that we have the light. Amen? So we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the light. We thank You for this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, You sent Him to be a propitiation, Father, for our sin. And we thank You, Lord. That without which, truly, Father, we won't be here today, this morning. And we thank You, Father. And help us, like as Paul said, to be watchful and prayerful, Lord, and to be aware of what's going on. And, Lord, also, that we come into a deeper knowledge, a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. To know Him, His passion, His suffering, Lord. Most of all, the power of His resurrection. Lord, and come to that place that we, our life be conformed, Lord, to the life of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. That we become like Jesus, carrying our own cross and suffered without the camp. And to be walking with Jesus Christ the way He walked. Father, we thank You for this knowledge, for this revelation. We ask for Your grace today. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.